Welcome to another edition of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, director of Berit Hadashah Ministries in Dallas, Texas. Well, today on our program, we continue our important series, Israel, the Super Sign of the End Times. And today we're going to be looking at a very important prophecy concerning the agricultural renewal and revival of the land of Israel that the God of Israel foretold through Ezekiel would happen at the end of days. In this prophecy of Ezekiel 36, we are told that the land of Israel would lay dormant, barren, and unfruitful for a long period of time. And then God would regather the Jewish people. And concurrent to that, the land of Israel itself would experience a agricultural revival of Edenic proportions. You know, few lands have been attacked, plundered, invaded, and ravaged as much as the land of Israel. Ever since the Lord promised the land of Canaan to Abraham and his descendants, the Jewish people, military invaders and invasions have incessantly trampled upon the land, stolen from it, and displaced its people from the land. In ancient history, we learn that marauding parties, nomadic warriors, armies from the ancient Near Eastern empires made up of the surrounding nations continually invaded the borders of Israel to pillage her small villages. When empires began to form, ambitious rulers like Assyria and Babylon invaded Israel and plundered the land's crops and wealth. Furthermore, when armies were on the march, they usually marched through the land of Israel, conquering and plundering as they went along. So, throughout its history, Israel has been a land that has been troubled, plagued with military invasion and foreign devastation. Today we know that the modern day of Israel has no lasting peace. That is because Palestinian enemies and Arab terrorist groups have sought to wreak destruction, terror, and fear among the Jewish people, hoping out of this desperation they would give up, leave the land of Israel, and cede it back to the Arab enemies who seek to usurp the land for themselves through their acts of terrorism. So no matter what time or age we are in, it seems to be that the surrounding nations encircling Israel have always attempted to lay illegitimate claim to the land of Israel, coveting the land for themselves. But the one common denominator among all these empires and foreign invaders, when they seek to steal the land for themselves, is they have ignored or overlooked one crucial fact, and that is that the Holy Land belongs to God Himself. He owns the land, and He has designated the land of Israel and the capital of the land, Jerusalem, to be the very seat of His government when Messiah returns to set up His 1,000-year kingdom on earth, Isaiah 2, 1 through 5. Since the land belongs to the Lord, anyone who seeks to defile this land, displace those whom He's chosen to live in that land, and take the land for their own, do this not so much against the people of the land, the Jewish people, but do these unlawful things against the God of Israel, the one who truly owns the land. One thing that the enemies of Israel often overlook, and in the past, up to this present day, with the 21 Arab dictatorships surrounding it, is God loves this land and He loves the people of the land, whom He chose to live in the land for an everlasting possession. The Jews are God's chosen people, and so therefore His honor is inextricably wrapped up with them, both when they sin and when they suffer. In Ezekiel's day, the promised land God gave to Israel had fallen into disrepair, and the people of the land had been removed and exiled, primarily to Babylon. God had promised the land to Israel in the eternal covenant He made with Abraham, Genesis 15, 18 through 21, and Genesis 17, 7 and 8. But in Ezekiel's day, the Babylonians had invaded the land, removed the people, and razed and destroyed all the cities of the nation, including Jerusalem and her resplendent temple. The Babylonians had trampled upon the land and utterly destroyed the crops, the cattle, and the villages. The land, by Ezekiel's time, when he spoke this prophecy in Ezekiel 36, was barren and now lying desolate, and therefore an easy prey for Israel's covetous neighbors. Those who had survived the Babylonian invasion, those Jews, were now in exile, scattered throughout the Babylonian Empire. And so after the fall of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple, it appeared to Ezekiel's audience of his day that all hope of returning to the promised land, rebuilding the villages, and tilling the soil so that the land could enjoy an agricultural revival, all of this seemed totally lost. Why? Because Israel's sins, their disobedience toward God, their misuse of this land, had corrupted their society in the very land that God's hand gave to them. Consequently, His hand of judgment fell down upon them, as He warned through the prophets, Ezekiel included. We remember that in the book of Genesis, in fact, the whole Torah even, God had promised to give the land to Israel, and they actually possessed that land, as we read in the book of Joshua. And the Lord told them that if they obeyed His commandments and followed Him and trusted in His promises to give them the land, they would occupy and possess it fully. Well, we know the tragic story. The nation did not. They turned away from the Lord and embraced iniquity, wickedness, and idolatry. They went after false gods. They did not properly treat the land, allowing it to rest every 7 years. And for this, God said He would remove Israel from the land and allow the land to rest. We learn here in Ezekiel 36 two inviolate truths that are permanently part of God's character and plan. And those two things are that is He loves the people of the land, Israel, the Jewish people, and he loves the Holy Land. So within this context of these two fundamental facts of Scripture, the Lord gave Ezekiel a very special message for his people. A message that essentially predicted and promised a future of revival and restoration for both the land and the people of Israel. Indeed, Ezekiel tells the Jewish exiles in Babylon to give them hope that a day was coming when God was going to renew the land and restore his people to it, and with that restoration, redeem them with the return of the Messianic Shepherd of Israel. Now, keep in mind that these promises we read here in Ezekiel 36, we have to locate the time frame for them. That's important for interpreting this prophecy, and any prophecy for that matter. Who is the prophecy speaking to, and what time frame is it speaking within? Well, we see here that the time frame for the prophecy of Ezekiel 36 exceeds well beyond the return of the Jews from Babylon. Some 45 to 50,000 Jews returned from Babylon under the leadership of Zerubbabel, Nehemiah, and Ezra. But any general knowledge of Old Testament history will tell you that this restoration under these three great leaders in no way fulfills the prophecy given in Ezekiel 36 for the simple fact that the Messiah has not returned to gather all of Israel under his redemptive and beneficent reign. So this prophecy looks ahead to the future, even today as we read this prophecy. Though parts of it are being fulfilled, it still awaits ultimate fulfillment with the return of Jesus the Messiah, called here in Ezekiel 36, described with the metaphorical actions of a shepherd. And of course, Jesus said in John 10, I am the good shepherd. So this prophecy ultimately points to the return of the Messiah as the good shepherd of Israel, restoring them to the land and providing them with the abundance that would come from the land to sustain them. So the promises of Ezekiel 36 obviously point to the end of the days, Yacharit Hayamim. Remember that Hebrew term that means the end of days. In human history, immediately before when the Messiah will return and set up God's kingdom on earth. Therefore, these promises are supernatural from beginning to end and lie well beyond human ability and action to fulfill, for they await the Lord Himself, who alone has the power to accomplish what these verses predict and promise. When we look at Ezekiel 36, there seems to be a threefold division to this great end-time prophecy concerning Israel. The first would be the restoration or the renewal of the land of Israel. The renewal of the land of Israel. This is given in verses 1 through 15. And then the second division would be the restoration of the people of Israel, given in verses 16 through 25. And then the third division would be the return of Messiah to redeem Israel, verses 35 through 38. So now let us look at this chapter more closely. Ezekiel 36 begins with God commanding Ezekiel to prophesy to the mountains of Israel. Verse 1, "And you, son of man." Son of man is a recurrent phrase in Ezekiel describing Ezekiel himself. Later on, this phrase, son of man, will be a messianic term that the Lord Jesus applies to himself. But suffice it to say here that it refers to Ezekiel. God is addressing Ezekiel as son of man. "And you, son of man, prophesy to the mountains of Israel and say, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord." Interesting here that Israel's renewal, their agricultural revitalization, will be accomplished by the spoken word of God. No surprise, beloved. God has the power to speak and bring into existence. Here, he speaks by verbal fiat. And Israel, the land of Israel, is agriculturally revived after laying dormant for a great long period of time. Actually, 1900 years of dormancy and desolation, to be precise. So here the land has laid dormant for all this time, and God, with the power of his spoken word, commands Ezekiel to speak this word of renewal. In Genesis 1, chapters 1 and 2, we see that God created the heavens of the earth. How? By the spoken word. That's how our material universe came into being. It would save all the scientists years of futile and fruitless study when they try to determine the origin of the universe to go back to the source of absolute truth, that is the Word of God, and discover that this universe came into existence by verbal fiat, by the spoken Word of God. And just as God spoke creation into existence, the restoration of Israel, that, by the way, we are seeing today, was already spoken into existence in the days of Ezekiel when God commanded him to speak the prophecies of Ezekiel 36 that foretell the restoration and renewal of the land of Israel. So God directs Ezekiel to speak to the mountains of Israel. Why? Well, the mountains are the most prominent topography in the Holy Land. And they showed above all other places in the Holy Land that the land had become desolate. And so God begins with the most prominent part of Israel. This is where he begins his renewal of the land, from the mountains, and from the mountains then to the rivers and valleys, as we will see later on in Ezekiel 36. So Ezekiel is directed to prophesy to the mountains, and they are to hear the word of the Lord. Now, there are five mountain ranges in Israel, and obviously when God commands Ezekiel to speak to the mountains, all of these mountain ranges are therefore included. They would be, first, the Golan mountain range in northern Israel. Second would be the Carmel mountain range in western Israel. Third, the Galilean mountain range in central Israel. The Judean mountain range located in the southern part of Israel, and the mountain range of Samaria, which would be located in the central part of Israel, the middle section. So all of these mountain ranges are commanded to hear the word of the Lord. And what was this word? Verse 2, "Thus says the Lord God, because the enemy has said of you, aha, the ancient heights have become our possession. Therefore prophesy and say, thus says the Lord, because they made you desolate and swallowed you up on every side, so that you became the possession of the rest of the nations. And you are taken up by the lips of talkers and slandered by the people. Therefore, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God to the mountains, the hills, the rivers and the valleys, the desolate wastes and the cities. So now this word of revival and restoration is to encompass all of Israel, comprising of the mountains, the hills, the rivers, the valleys, the desolate wastes and the cities that have been forsaken, which became plunder and mockery to the rest of the nations all around. So the nations that have ridiculed and scorned Israel and sought to stole her from the hand of the chosen people, these are the nations that surround Israel. Today, they would be all the Arab nations. What's God's word of judgment toward them for their contemptuous treatment and derision of the land and people of Israel? Verse 5. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, surely I have spoken in my burning jealousy against the rest of the nations and against all Edom, who gave my land to themselves as a possession, with wholehearted joy and spiteful minds, in order to plunder its open country. Therefore prophesy concerning the land of Israel, and say to the mountains, the hills, the rivers, and the valleys, thus says the Lord God, behold, I have spoken in my jealousy and my fury, because you have borne the shame of the nations. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, I have raised my hand in an oath, that surely the nations that are around you shall bear their own shame. But you, O mountains of Israel, you shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people Israel, for they are about to come. For indeed I am for you, and I will turn to you, and you shall be tilled and sown. What a great prophecy we have here. That is being currently played out and fulfilled today. This is an accurate description of what is occurring now with Israel and the surrounding Arab nations who hate her, seek to steal her land from the chosen people, and have a spite and hatred that knows no bounds towards them. The Lord saw those who opposed Him, those who treated the land, the Holy Land, with disdain and derision. Babylon of Ezekiel's day was just the most recent of many nations that would come and abuse and mistreat God's land down through the centuries. But we see here in these verses that God, the God of Israel, made four very serious indictments. And with those indictments, the execution of His judgment on them for their mistreatment of His people and the land that He gave him. First of all, these enemies of Israel had coveted the land. A land, God says, which was not theirs, but God's. This has been conspicuously ignored and forgotten, even today, with the current roadmap to peace plan that the United States government, Britain, the EU, and the UN are currently advocating for Israel. And in that sham peace plan, Israel is told, demanded, to give up their land to their enemies, who have a long history of seeking to destroy the Jewish people and steal their land away from them that God gave them. And so the United States government has put itself in a very dangerous position. If we read Ezekiel 36 correctly, and we are, it's very clear here that those nations that seek to usurp the land from Jewish hands and give it to their enemies fall under the judgment of God. So this word in Ezekiel 36 certainly applies to our government who advocate the sham land for peace policy, which doesn't work. The handing over of Gaza to the Palestinians is clear proof of that. When Israel did that, they were expecting peace from the Palestinians, and all they got for it was more terrorism. Over 5,000 rockets have slammed into southern Israel from Gaza since Israel was coerced by the United States and the global community to give away that piece of real estate, which falls well within the land grant God gave to the Jewish people. So the land is God's and God's alone, and He sovereignly determines who should live in it and abide there. And He has chosen the Jewish people. Because God owns the land, He can give the land to whomever He wished, allowing them to live there as long as He wished. And yet, this land, we are told, has been devastated by war. And that is so true of the land of Israel. It has suffered nearly 40 devastating foreign invasions throughout its history. It has not known peace at any time in recorded human history. It is indeed a land that has been scarred by constant war. And one of the reasons for this, beloved, is because the land of Israel is one of the most strategic land masses in the world. When you consider that Israel forms a natural bridge connecting three major continents, Israel is a land bridge connecting Europe, Asia, and Africa together. And so throughout its long history, it was used as a major trade route through which caravans would travel through. And so whoever controlled this natural land bridge, the land of Israel, also controlled the lucrative commerce that passed through there. So that is why all the nations throughout that region and from different parts of the world have sought to conquer and control and own Israel for themselves, because of the very strategic and lucrative position the land of Israel finds itself in. So the enemies of Israel had raped the land, devastated it through war, and took possession what did not belong to them. And in so doing, God says that they mocked and slandered the land. Now, the reason why God takes this seriously and also takes umbrage at people mistreating His holy land and deprecating the people whom He gave the land to, i.e. the Jewish people, is because it's a reflection on His character and His word. That is an important truth that I think the church has forgotten today. How you treat the Jewish people and the fact that they own the land of Israel through God's permission reflects on what you really think about the God of Israel. And really, when a person has a problem with the Jews, it's really a reflection of a greater problem, and that is he has a problem with God, the one who brought the Jewish people into existence by a supernatural miracle. That is the birth of Isaac, through whom the Messiah would come to redeem the world. And so when a person has a problem with the Jewish people and Israel and has a disdain for the land, it reflects a greater problem, that he has a disdain and disregard and a contempt for the God of Israel. Well, I see my time is up here. We will continue our crucial study of Ezekiel 36, a prophecy being fulfilled in our days, the end of days. Please wait for the announcer at the end of the program. He will tell you how you can get in contact with us. Let us hear from you. And until next time, Shalom Aleichem, Yeshua HaMashiach. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.